Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You know how everything seems like a good idea after you've had a few?
Don't tell her at a railway station!
Yeah, that's this show.
Riding in my car. And I'm listening to the radio.
It's time for Dukes and Bell.
Oh, someone told me it's the Black Beverly Hills. Is that true?
Driving in Atlanta just got a whole lot more bearable.
Welcome to the party, pal.
Hi, everybody. Carl Dukes and Mike Bell. The names that mean goodness.
Say my name, you know who I am.
Carl Dukes.
I drink and I know things.
Oh, don't question my authority, thanks.
King Kong ain't got on me.
Sometimes you just gotta call somebody, and I'm not ashamed to say it. You know,
And Mike Bell.
I'm funny how? I mean, funny like I'm a clown, I amuse you.
Hope you guess my name.
Bring a pitcher of beer every 7 minutes till somebody passes out, and then bring one every 10 minutes, right?
Get ready for the best 5 hours of your life.
Fat, drunk, and stupid is no way to go through life, sir.
Don't believe me, just watch.
This is Dukes and Bell.
You know what? Why don't we start doing the stuff that other guys have done, other radio shows around the country?
No.
On Sports Radio 92.9, The Game.
Atlanta! What's going on? It is Dukes and Bell on Sports Radio 92.9, The Game. We start off every day and every hour by saying...
Hey, man, happy Friday.
It's a beautiful day in the A, and certainly it's a Dukes and Bell, hashtag Dukes and Bell tailgate at home 2020 Friday, which means you can throw something on the grill. So many guys already participating, and we really, really, really appreciate you guys joining in the fun as we've been doing this now for the last 9 or 10 weeks. Actually, I think we started a few weeks after we got quarantine, but regardless of that, Mike, another Friday. So we'll share along the way what we have on the grill, and it is brought to you by our friends at Twin Peaks, who are open for business, dine in, and of course pick up, following all the CDC guidelines. So guys, if you are wanting to get out and dine in at Twin Peaks, you can do that this weekend. How's your Friday going, Mike Bell? What's going on today, man?
Hey, man, just kind of chilling like everybody else, you know, trying to keep my head above water, trying to be positive. It's been a very strange 24 hours for everybody, but we'll try to give you some levity from that. No, man, just got it in, trying to stay, you know, trying to stay in shape, brother. Hit the gym.
Did you hit it again today? You hit
well,
it again?
It's every day is chest day when you got a big belly. So, yeah, got that done, and... and, you know, and every day is off day. Who does legs? But, yeah, man, then just following along with the breaking news and everything else that's been happening today.
All right, we've got a big show, as always, on Fridays. Great conversation with John McClain yesterday on the program. We're going to let you hear coming up in about 15 minutes in regards to the NFL, the new rule changes, and the things that they turned down, as well as some of the guys that are still searching for contracts. He gives a great explanation of Jadeveon Clowney and his situation as to why he's still out there. I know a lot of Falcon fans, you know, just a few months ago were like, man, this is a guy we should go get. He's still not signed. You'll hear what John McClain had to say coming up on the show. Mike, you know, here's the thing about our Falcons, and we're going to start here today because Alex Mack was speaking to the media yesterday, and I thought he said something really interesting that stood out, that it's something kind of we've spoken about and something we've talked about, but I think it's a big part of our offense getting back on track. And, you know, as much as we've talked about what Dirk Cutter is or is not or what he hasn't done, Alex Mack talked about they haven't really run the outside zone plays that Kyle Shanahan brought with him and eventually led us to a Super Bowl a lot over the last three seasons. And that's the time that Kyle's been gone. And he says we haven't really emphasized a whole lot on that. But this offseason, it seems like, Mike, that they are going to try to get back to that. And I'm thinking to myself, you know, we haven't really had a lot of explosive run plays. Now, you can blame that on Free or the O-line or whatever. But, you know, the way that we consistently seem to move the chains in 16 had a lot to do with that zone blocking scheme and stretching the defense. And here Alex Mack is, our center, saying we really haven't emphasized that over the last three seasons.
And that's just it, man. We've talked about the what's that phrase I used to, you know, talk about all the time? Playing personality. Bo Bach, who did TV and radio here for years in Atlanta, used to say it. And that's it, man. Didn't we have a conversation earlier in the week about us being finesse?
Yep.
That's our nature. I mean, the only way that changes is by drafting the right guys that have that right temperament, that come with edge. We've talked about offensive lines in the past. Longtime Falcon fans have heard me and you talk about Harvey Dahl and all those dudes, you know, guys like, you know, Todd McClure. Alex Mack's got it. Unfortunately for Alex Mack, it's been a revolving door on his left side. So, you know, try to get some consistency with the offensive line. So that's a big part of it.
Yeah, I just, you know, and Alex, again, this may be, we don't know. It may be his last year. I'm going to assume it is, again, because, you know, we drafted a guy that could take his spot. He's in the last year of his deal, and Alex is 34 years old. He's going to the 12th year of his, you know, NFL career. He's one of the best, has been one of the best since he got here. There's really been no fall off either, Mike, with Alex Mack. You know, we might have thought that when he got here from Cleveland as one of the best centers in the league at that time, he may have one or two good seasons left. This guy's been pretty good every year he's been here. And the other thing, knock on wood, it's been pretty durable, even playing hurt right in the Super Bowl.
That's the thing, guys. The second half, unfortunately, you know, it kind of goes unnoticed or it's overlooked by all the other mistakes that happen. But it's not a mistake. It's just an injury. I mean, the guy's leg was basically busted, you know, for the second half. And eventually the Patriots kind of bowed up and things just they were working in the first half for us, stopped working. And some of that was guys not executing. We've mentioned it a million times. But, yeah, that's the thing, man. This is I don't know how much more Alex has got. Like in a perfect world that Alex could keep on trucking, you know, and there's no indication he can't. But you would think that it's beginning to kind of wind down. So you got to maximize the talent. And then it's funny, the Forbes, you know, top four Falcon players were on the new Forbes list. And again, one of them we inherited is Dante Fowler. You know, Trufant wasn't too far off a year ago. But yeah, when you look at some of the bang for the buck, especially on the offense, I mean, you know, Julio, Matt, Alex, all these guys, you got to make that pay dividends. And, you know, brother, this year with all the prognostication going on, nobody's really given us a chance to win this division.
No, not at all. I mean, DQ has mentioned, you know, the outside zone running more a couple of times this offseason. But, you know, Dirk Koetter is the guy that we're all looking at and going, all right, are we going to do this? How are we going to do it? And he's been kind of vague. I mean, not only was he vague, Mike, about the health and status of Todd Gurley, he's also been vague about how he's going to attempt to do this. You know, remember, I think it was 2 years ago, Mike, I may be wrong on this, when DQ was like, we're trying to be more power. You know, we went out and got those guys in free agency, and we wanted to be more power offensive run game, and it really didn't transpire. It didn't happen. So
no, we added almost like 700 pounds of man meat, right? When you think about Brown and Carpenter, we brought those guys in, and unfortunately, they just couldn't really stay healthy. But the dynamic still didn't change. We are still a zone blocking scheme with, like, but what's that line? With power tendencies. You know, it's like a 1-3-1 man-to-man tendencies. We're still not able to get short yardage. We're still unable in the red zone to get, and we're unable when we do have leads, at least the last 2 years, to finish them by running the football.
Yeah. What do you guys think, by the way? Alex saying they are going to return to the outside zone. It has him excited. And you got to think about, again, how our offense flowed when we were running the ball that way. Now, here's the other thing. Is Gurley an outside zone guy? He's a cutback guy, right? That's what he's really done his entire career.
I think Gurley could do anything you want him to do. Now, obviously, he'll probably a little bit more equipped to handle anything that's thrown at him 2 years ago or 3 years ago. But, yeah, you put that guy in the backfield, you get Jake Matthews, and hopefully, again, whoever – you know, that's still a question mark, though. Who's going to be next to him? We got the two guys we didn't really get the results from because they couldn't stay healthy. We've got a young guy that we just drafted. You know, there's Gono who's been here but still hasn't proven he can step up. But a lot of guys on the team are high on him. But that's a big question mark. All those problems with offensive line last year, and we're still going to have to find out who's going to be the left guard.
Yeah, still a competition. You guys can hit us up, guys. We are coming your way live from our mobile Kia studios, brought to you and driven by Kia. For more info, visit KiaDealers.com. Of course, on radio.com. Get the free app, download it today, and put it on all of your devices and teach your smart speakers how to listen to us on this Friday afternoon. Mike is at Mike Bell ATL. I'm at Put 'em Up C Dukes, and of course the radio show is Dukes and Bell 929. That's all Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and follow the radio station at 929 The Game. We'll talk plenty about the Falcons today, give you more insight onto what Alex was saying and how this may play out. But I do want to be cognizant of what's going on, and Mike mentioned it as we started the show, just trying to keep up with things. We know we are your outlet for sports, and we will continue to do that. But we also consider ourselves to be a worldly show, and we consider ourselves to be up on things that are going on in and around our community and certainly in our society. So I do want to mention, Mike, that the former Minneapolis police officer, his name's Derek Chauvin, was arrested today. Matter of fact, just probably 30, 40 minutes ago, in the death of George Floyd. George Floyd was the African-American gentleman that was killed earlier this week, Memorial Day, when the officer had his knee on his neck, and you've seen probably the video by now, but there's been a lot of outrage and certainly response to that around the country. But I do want to mention that because we're not going to fake it and come on the program and act like we talk about all these things and we're not going to mention that. So I do want to mention that because I know a lot of people are watching this, and certainly it's top of mind right now.
Right, and there was a story that came out today, which a lot of people, it came out yesterday, actually, after we were off the air, with a lot of people kind of, wow, scratching their heads, that George Floyd and the officer, Chauvin, both worked at security at a nightclub and in a bar district. Their shifts overlap. There's still nothing yet that says they actually knew each other, because there was a lot of guys, apparently, that worked at this very large place. But that's just another wrinkle in the story. But as you mentioned, the officer arrested after all, you saw the protests and the riots and all the violence and everything went down last night up in Minneapolis.
Yeah, and it happened in a couple of different cities as well, but
Louisville, I got some friends in Louisville that they're literally looking at it going down last night.
So that news breaking, and again, it's one of those things that I think for Mike and I, we've been keeping an eye on, focusing on what we have to do here with our show and our program, but it's something that, you know, we're keeping an eye on, and I know a lot of people are, so we want to put that out there and let you guys know what the latest news is. 404-741-0929. It is our Solomon Brothers Diamond text line. You can always text the show and let us know what's going on. It's funny, Mike, because today, you know, we said it's our Dukes and Bell tailgate at home, and some guys are like sending us pictures. People have been cooking, and this is what's interesting to me. Some people cooked Wednesday, Thursday. Chris hit us up. He's like, fellas, I cooked early this week, and I'm going to be at the pool today. It's like guys are giving us the reasons why they're not going to get in on this thing today. It's all good. Here's the thing. If you've been involved over the last few weeks, guys, we appreciate it. We're not asking you to do it every week. We hope to bring new people in. But if you enjoy this like we do, we appreciate you guys doing it every week. So thank you.
And, Jordan Wakefield's got some unbelievable-looking some prime beef short ribs.
Man.
So he's got the guys are already getting after it. So it's all presented by, thanks to our buddies at Twin Peaks, both locations, Buckhead, Kennesaw, that are open both for dine-in or take-out. Dine-in, of course, following all the protocols as dictated by the state. But, man, like I said, just trying to lighten the mood, have some fun. One thing we can all agree with is grilling. Today, by the way, when I bought, if you saw this on my Twitter page, at Mike Bell ATL, Carl's Put 'em Up, C-Dukes, trying to lighten the mood out there, I got a picture of Phil Collins and Philip Bailey. And it says, remember, when the world is running down, count on Dukes and Bell to make the best of what's still around. Let's just grill.
That's
so,
right.
So you'd be Philip Bailey and I'd be Phil Collins. And with the hairline, is actually perfect. But anyway, man, let's, like I said, we'll try to be giving you, as Carl said, a release, but also cognizant of what else is going down.
Hey, man, I got to ask you, and this is off side topic.
Right.
But I've been so fascinated by this Epstein, this documentary. So how far did you get last night?
All right, my wife and I watched the first two, and she's like, all right, I'm out. And she was just tired. And,
yeah,
and the guy is just such a colossal creep. And so, yeah, I watched the whole thing last night. And just be aware that you really don't get to see what's going on in his head. They don't really get to that. It's more about the victims of the abuse. And it's amazing how he had an amazing eye for picking out the victims, the women that he terrorized and trafficked. And then, of course, they get into the suicide, quote unquote, or the murder, but it's amazing because the juice this guy had and the people that he and the power that he accumulated and the people that he was friends with, it's mind blowing. But the Epstein documentary is out there, Filthy Rich. You can watch it on Netflix. And again, once it got a hook in me, so I stayed up till 1:30, watched the whole thing last night.
So it's funny because we fell asleep. We're on the third episode. We fell asleep first night. I watched two. That was two nights ago. And then last night watched the third episode. So I've not seen the last one where they get into the, like you said, hashtag suicide, whatever.
Right.
But I will say this, man. even in death, there feel like there's still so many things we didn't know. We don't know about this dude. You know what I mean?
No,
it's crazy.
He's still an enigma. I mean, it's an unbelievable creep. The lady, we'll talk more about it in Guy Talk, but the facilitator, she's underground right now on the run. Bananas. But it is definitely worth a watch if you got the time. And we got the time.
Hey, man, John McClain stopped by the show yesterday. Longtime NFL writer, one of the best in the business. Find out what he thinks about the NFL rule changes and more. It's next on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. We welcome in John McClain, longtime NFL writer here on the program. And, John, it's good to have you on. First of all, I hope you're healthy and doing well, because I know it's been crazy. But are you surprised that Greg Abbott made this decision to move forward with what he's done today?
I got to tell you guys, I'll be really honest. I pay no attention to what politicians do or say, because everything they do is self-serving. I prefer to listen to the medical experts, because, of course, none of them, including Greg Abbott, are. Everything's politically motivated. But just, it's like you said, Carl, just because the governor says you can do it doesn't mean the leagues are going to let them do it. And there's so many things that have to be worked out. It's easy to say you can go, but who's going to do what the experts say necessary? What I'm worried about is they're just going to bypass what the experts say and do what they want to do. But I don't expect here, like right now, the Astros have a few players at different times of the day at Minute Maid Park, and a few players at different times of the day at their facility in West Palm Beach. And so they're trying to get everybody together. Of course, the NFL is not under time restraints like the other sports are. So I know people are making a big deal about it. Greg Abbott's loving it, but I can't wait to see what the reaction is from the people at the Houston Medical Center who know what they're talking about.
It is John McClain with us, guys, longtime NFL reporter and just all-around good guy from the Houston Chronicle. Joins Dukes and Bell on a regular basis. John, we had a conversation last hour about J.J. Watt and deciding to forego starting a conversation about a new contract. Is this at face value a guy literally saying, I didn't earn the money the last 2 years, so I'm not going to talk about money now? Tell us what's going on there.
That's basically what he said when he was asked. Now, I don't rule out a restructure in which they lower the cap by giving him some money and turning base salary into signing bonus. He's done that before. But the question put to him was an extension. So, no, he's not going to get an extension with more money. He's not going to ask for one. He missed the second half of last season with a torn pectoral muscle. He made a miraculous comeback, was able to play two playoff games, had a sack to ignite a come-from-behind victory over Buffalo in a wild card round. But, you know, you don't hear many players say what Watt said yesterday. He's not going to be asking for more money. That's one of the reasons DeAndre Hopkins was traded, because he had 3 years left on his contract, and he wanted to raise once Julio Jones signed that extension, I knew Hopkins was out of here, because I knew he was going to try to get in Jones' neighborhood, which would have required an $8 to $10 million a year raise, and I knew they weren't going to do it with 3 years left.
John, what do you think about these quirky things that the owners voted on today? Now, they did table this 4th-and-15 onside kick alternative. First of all, does this make sense to you, and are you glad that they tabled it? Because some of the things that, you know, the competition committee looks at, you go, all right, that makes sense. I don't know if this one did, and I think they did the right thing by tabling it. What about you?
Quirky is a great way to put it. It's a gimmick. And if the NFL is considering a gimmick, and you're talking about traditionalists, they don't put it on the table and 2 months later vote for it, like the one that they're going to try in preseason with a booth official. And the NFL is really worried. They don't have enough, 17 of them, enough to go around. And there's a lot of things to be worked out about putting an eye in the sky, because I think if anybody, including us, we're up there with a big flat screen, high definition, and we're watching a play, we might find five or six violations. And do we call the referee and say, hey, call holding on that guy, call pass interference on this guy? That's the old catchphrase, unintended consequences. And so how much of an authority is that guy going to be able to do? He's supposed to just be used like that was last year for blatant violations, but we saw so many blatant violations of interference that they didn't call, and it cost coaches timeouts because they threw flags legitimately and they wouldn't call it. So the booth umpire, they'll try it in preseason and see if it works. The eye in the sky, coaches wanted it last year. They voted unanimously for it, but it doesn't matter what they vote for. It's what the owners think. And the owners shot it down. Now they're going to consider it. So it wouldn't surprise me if this time next year they didn't say, okay, we'll try that in preseason or we'll vote it in on a one-year basis. But it is very radical when you think about the NFL. They've got all these stats, and Rich McKay would know this because he's out of the competition committee. It shows how many injuries there are on onside kicks. And, you know, I don't know what percentage succeeded every year, but it did give a team a chance. And right now they have no chance whatsoever on an onside kick, but I do believe they will do something, just not this season.
Yeah, we talked about it. I'm not a statistician by any stretch, John, but the numbers were about 20% for a decade, and then after they tweaked the rules, it went down to almost single digits. But is it, I mean, do you need that? Can't you just, I don't know, put them 5 yards apart, let them jump ball it?
That makes as much sense as the one they tabled, because I believe they will come up with some rule, and one of the rules they don't want to do, they don't want to say, oh, boy, that was in the XFL, that was in the AAF. They want to come up with their own, and I think they will, just not in time for this season. So if you got to try an onside kick, it's going to be almost a waste of time.
It is John McClain, guys, longtime NFL writer, covers the league. And is the beat guy for the Houston Texans as well. And we wanted to pick his brain on a variety of things. One of the things that Mike and I have been talking about during this pandemic is, obviously, you know, when you look at the league itself and how you get back, John McClain, right now, with everybody you know and what you know, are we starting this league with no fans in the stands? Because everybody's saying they expect to have fans in the stands in September.
Well, they're saying they expect to, but then they also will point out they'll let the experts tell them what to do. And experts are not the politicians, it's the medical people. And what is going to be different in September than right now? You know, what is going to be different? If they're telling the fans, say they allow 25% of the stadium to be full, and yet you're going to let the players ignore social distancing. The thing I have not seen any experts say, tell me how players can bleed on each other, spit on each other, get sweat on each other, snot on each other. How can they do that? How can they be in piles? How can they be next to each other on benches in position meetings? How can they do that, but yet you believe fans in social distance? It doesn't seem fair to me, and you're running a lot of risk with players and their lives. And I'll tell you something else. It's not a big deal for us, but it's going to cause hand-wringing. I know the German Soccer League, somebody talked to a reporter over there, and he said ordinarily he has 60 reporters cover a game, and now it's 10. And there was a lot of problems about who got to be among the 10. You know, how do they do that? You know, the press boxes. Houston, you can social distance. Atlanta, you can social distance. But some of those, you cannot social distance because they're too small. And then if you're going to have, like, the Houston Chronicle has 8 at home or the Journal Constitution has 8 at home, they're not going to give you 8 when you're having the social distance. And plus, are we going to be able to interview people? Are we going to go to a game and then stay on our computer and interview Dan Quinn on Zoom and Matt Ryan on Zoom? If that's the case, why even go to the game? So there's so many things that have to be worked out. I would be shocked under our current climate, reading everything that the experts say, not the politicians. How in the world are you going to have a full football stadium or any stadium, even in September? Until they get a vaccine, what is going to be different?
The other thing also, you know, that's the other thing, John, we talked, not to put your business out there, but we're no spring chickens, but, you know, older coaches, we talked about it with Dave O'Brien earlier from the AJC, you know, baseball managers are in their 50s and 60s. You know, that was another concern.
Baker's in his 70s.
Right.
They're pitching, though. Brent Strom's in his 70s, and both of them, Dusty's been home in L.A. Brent Strom, I think, is in Tucson. They've been doing the virtual meetings with their players, and we just had a big story this weekend about them and their age. And, you know, there's a lot of athletes that have pre-existing conditions that they say makes them more susceptible, and I think it was 12 baseball players, prominent baseball players, who have things that put them in position to more susceptible to getting COVID-19. What are they going to do about it? What do they do to guarantee that those players will not get it and take it home and spread it to their family or their parents or their grandparents. There was an interview on MLB Radio yesterday. I can't remember who the guy was, but he's an expert. He's written a lot about this. And he said, and he pointed out, he said, you can have COVID-19 and not know it, and you can test positive, but the test might be positive 3 days after they said you were positive, and then you can spread it 3 days after that. And the only way that you can keep up it is test everybody every day. Now, that's certainly not realistic. In college sports, you couldn't, pro sports, because they got the money. But one of the things they told us, and I know you guys heard this, like DeMar Smith, the head of the union, said, we're not going to do it and get special treatment when it comes to tests until the public can get tests anytime they want. I kind of think that's going to go by the wayside.
Yeah, I do too. I agree. It's John McClain. One last thing. Really appreciate you coming on, John. Jadeveon Clowney, what is he thinking? Continuing to turn deals down, or at least offers that we've heard about. Is he overvalued himself to think that he's a $25 million guy when he's not getting those kinds of offers?
He wanted that kind of money last year with the Texans, and they already had 100 million defensive linemen, and they weren't going to do another one. They offered him a deal that would max out at 90. He turned it down, and so they traded him. And then he did. He got hurt. He didn't play a full season. He had 3 sacks, had one great game on national TV, and we've seen him do that. He's very inconsistent. So Clowney had surgery. People want to examine him. I would not give him a lot of money till my doctors could give him physicals. He's here working out in Houston, and I know several teams have inquired. Seattle has a one-year deal on the table for him. Titans are interested. And Adam Schefter had that story about the Browns offering the most money, but he didn't have any figures. And so, and he said he turned it down. The Texans tried to include him in a trade for Jadeveon Clowney, for Laremy Tunsil, and he refused to sign his tender so he couldn't be traded to Miami because he didn't want to play for Brian Flores, who had been with Bill Belichick. So I don't know why he didn't want to go to Cleveland, because coming off that injury and his health issues, there's no way he's going to get $100 million. So he should probably go back to Seattle for 1 year, hope he stays healthy, play on a good defensive line for coaches that know him, and then try to cash in for a third consecutive year.
Hey, John, we got to catch a break. Just real quick, how unhappy is Deshaun Watson with this offseason, losing a guy like DeAndre Hopkins?
Oh, he got Brandon Cooks, he got Randall Cobb, he got David Johnson. He was mad like everybody else when he was traded, but it's just the price of doing business. He's loaded. He's got all of his offensive line back. He is very happy, and he's going to sign an extension at some point for $40 million a year.
Cool.
John, thanks so much.
Guys.
Be safe.
Stay safe.
There he is, John McClain, guys, on Dukes and Bell. That was yesterday as we were talking about Texas making the move. And then as the show went on, our governor, Governor Kemp, making the similar move here as things start to open up. Mike, we're going to come back. We'll hit some headlines. Georgia lands a big 5-star, but he's a guy that already has playing time. We'll talk more about that and get you caught up on the latest. It's Dukes and Bell. It is Dukes and Bell coming up. NFL Blitz is on the way at 3 o'clock. Also, we are going to talk to Steve Koonin a little bit later on, Hawks CEO. We didn't get a chance to talk to Steve last week, but with the GM's meetings yesterday and then the Board of Governors meetings today in the NBA, what's the newest? What's the movement, Mike, with the NBA? And so, you know, it doesn't seem like anything's going to happen immediately. But, again, right. trying to see where we're going with this. And apparently most general managers voted to restart the season by going straight to the playoffs. That surprise you?
Yeah, I know that we had talked about the NHL and how they did it. I know that we want to see your Hawks out there for a few more games, and I understand the TV component, you know, losing money for the for instance, the Hawks and Fox Sports and all that. But I just think, you know what, this year, the circumstances, the NBA has gone to a shortened season before, twice in the last, 20 years. So, yeah, there won't be an asterisk. You just get on with it. And I think, you know, especially yesterday with, you know, we talked about the Damian Lillard, Dan Orlovsky nonsense. Damian Lillard wasn't exactly all fired up to come out and play for the Blazers, even though they still had a chance for the playoffs. So we'll just go right to the meat of the matter, which is what most NBA fans are looking for anyway.
Yeah, some people voted, according to the reports out there, for you resume the regular season. We're talking about the NBA guys with all 30 teams, followed by a play-in tournament. And that was one of the choices that, you know, was out there. And then the other one was obviously go straight to the playoffs with either a play-in tournament or World Cup-style group stage, which is something they've thought about. Resume the regular season with 30 teams and then go straight to the playoffs. So they had all these different scenarios, but we'll get more information from Steve Koonin, because I think, Mike, either way, I'm with you on this. I just think we don't have the luxury or the time to do what should be done, which is allow every team to play out their last 15 or 16 games and then go to the playoffs.
And that's just it. I mean, you know, we're pressed for time, and you know, the sooner you get the season over with, however they're going to move forward with whatever 2021 season is going to look like as well. So, yeah, you feel sorry for, I guess you'd argue, the only other dynamic would have been a play to see if the Pelicans and Zion could have won the right to get smoked by the Lakers in four games, but at least you would have had, you know, some marquee names for the TV component in the West if they had a shot. But I'm with you, bro. Let's just get right to it. And again, you mentioned that the World Cup stage. I know these are obviously extremely strange times, but I don't know why you've got to take these and change it and reinvent the wheel for all these sports, I guess is my point.
No, I agree with you. Hey, I do want to mention this. We started the show talking about Alex Mack, more what he had to say about getting back to the zone blocking scheme and how that may help our running game. But Matt Ryan, talking about getting off to a good start. You may have seen it. It's out there, and you know, a variety of publications are out there reporting it. I think he did an interview on ESPN, but, you know, our quarterback, again, hadn't done a whole lot of interviews since this pandemic started, but basically said it's going to be important for us to get off to a good start. And I'm quoting, to make sure that at the beginning of the year, we're right in the mix so that when we get to those divisional games late in the year, we got a chance to separate ourselves and do what we need to do. And it's funny because everybody's like, duh, you can't start 1-7 right, and expect to be in the hunt. Now, I mean, Matt's not being a smart A here, but he is right, Mike. I mean, I've said this 1-4 2 years ago, 1-7 last year. We cannot be 1-4, 1-5 and feel good about this football team. That's why it's imperative they come out to a great start.
Right. Whether that season starts in September or October, whoever it starts, you know where we've been. And I can't imagine this team not making the playoffs or not making the playoffs and then keeping everybody in place, you know, whether that's, and that goes down to players too, Carl. I mean, we always dance around the subject of, when would you ever move on from like the big name guys? Other teams and a new general manager would come in and say, look, I can get a lot for Julio. I can get a lot for Matt. We've gotten close, but we didn't get to the top of the mountain and kaboom. So the stakes are super high. I'm just saying big picture, regardless of who's calling the shots here.
404-741-0929. It is our Solomon Brothers Diamond text line, and you can text us or tweet at us. Before we get into headlines, Mike, I just had a gentleman ask us, because we don't run away from anything on this show. Abner asked the question, Dukes and Bill, are you guys going to address the elephant in the room? And he's talking about Caleb McGarry's tweet. Now, I'll tell you guys this. I was out running errands this morning doing stuff. Really wasn't paying a whole lot of attention, and Mike sent a text message saying, did you see what Caleb McGarry said? And it's not a good look. And with that said, I went and looked at it and went, oh, and then Mike, I guess moments later, it was gone. It was deleted. Right. We're talking about our offensive lineman, guys, first round pick last year for our Atlanta Falcons. So I don't know what you think, but I do want to address it because I think some people want to know what we think about it. So I'll let you go. We'll address it, and then we'll move on.
I mean, you could definitely, again, these are explosive times, and, you know, race relations and everything else is going on in Minneapolis and how people perceive it, you know, especially on the heels that, I know that D-Led was pumping some air into the fire, that there was an agenda when he was with Washington State. So I don't know if it was in the heat of the moment or if he really feels that way, but the optics weren't great, and whoever told him to take it down was probably a good idea, because now everything is under the microscope. So perception about the rioters and all that, it doesn't look good. Doesn't help him. As we say, you know, like we always joke around about it, man, before you hit send, is this going to help you or hurt you? And I think in a city like Atlanta, it doesn't help you.
That's a great point. And for Caleb McGarry, he hasn't endeared himself yet to this fan base, has he? I mean,
not yet. I mean, you know,
he hadn't played enough.
We've given everybody, like, you know, black, white, green, or brown, where part of the country they came from, the benefit of the doubt until we see if they can do it on the field or not. So, yeah, again, you just don't want to, you know, plant seeds because, you know, how somehow 2-2 becomes 5 pretty quick.
So the tweet that was deleted was, as Mike said, in response to what's going on in Minneapolis. So he took it down, and then I guess some people had screenshotted it, and it's out there if you want to go look at it. I don't know Caleb McGarry's heart. I always say this. I can only judge a man by what he says and what he tells me. and I don't want to necessarily go in on Caleb. I do have some reservations today about talking about any of this, Mike, because I'm feeling some kind of way. I'm not even going to lie to you. I'm not even going to sit here and BS you. Being where we're at, being my age, and we're still dealing with this crap is very upsetting. And, you know, talking with various friends around the country, it's just, you know, here we are again. So I'm not going to go in on Caleb McGarry, but I will say I hope he learns that, yeah, this stuff is something that he has to be very careful about. And certainly when you start putting yourself in position to side with one side or the other, and people view that. And for him, you know, he's just a young guy trying to make it in the league, right? I mean, he hasn't proven anything yet. So that's the part of this. And whoever told him, as you said, to take it down, whether it was the Falcons organization, PR, whoever, it was a good idea, because you don't want to get caught up in this and then have a fan base feel a certain kind of way about you. We haven't been able to judge whether or not you're a great player. And why does that matter? Because I'll be honest with you. If you're a great player, a lot of this stuff we don't give a damn about.
Right.
We don't.
Right. I mean, we've talked about, you know, guys, whether it's baseball players or football players, that have had stuff on social media when they were in high school or college, and it comes back, and obviously everyone gets on it, and it can become a big thing, unless you just lead with your thoughts and your actions in that locker room with the community, and you set people straight on where your head's at. But again, it's still, as you said, we don't know much about the young man. So, yeah, and you and I, just to echo the sentiments, we keep it real on the show. We talked a lot, and some people, like I said, some people don't want to hear it because sports is their, you know, it's their paradise to take them away from all the troubles of the real world. As we say, we work, if this is a department store, Carl and I get to work in the toy department. But, you know, it's the intersection of sports and life, because you've got major athletes. When LeBron James talks about what happened in the Floyd case, everybody's obviously talking about it. It's beyond water cooler. But I think one thing, because Carl being an African-American, me being a white guy, he's from Texas, I'm from New York, we're both living in Atlanta, we've always had a way to kind of get into these subjects and I think talk about it in an adult manner and not shy away from it. But I know, I just echo the sentiments, bro, and I just feel so, you know what, and I'll just say this right now, I just feel so lost. You know, and it's almost like, and I don't want to sound melodramatic, like you look at the news and you get depressed, but I'm with you. You would have thought that when, by the time I was in my 50s, we'd be in a much better place, but nothing really seems to change. So, you know, words seem hollow, and like I sent it on Twitter earlier, and even that can go sideways. My brother is a police officer. I talked to my brother last night. He was appalled, like so many other cops. A lot of police chiefs and police people are on record, and I know that doesn't do much for somebody who's had to deal with bad experiences with law enforcement. But it breaks my heart, because, you know, it takes a really tough, thankless job, and now in places like New York City, cops can be targets as a byproduct, because it just becomes an endless cycle. But first things first, police officers, cops around the country, sheriff's departments, everything. It used to be, Carl, that, you know, the Serpico mentality. Nobody likes a rat. But all these guys do is make your profession look bad, and it hurts you, and it puts you guys in danger. And I just think the cycle of, you know, being afraid to go to internal affairs if you know a guy is not doing things the right way, because you don't want to be ostracized yourself. But guys have got to break that code of silence and start doing the right thing, because all it does is make their lives worse and puts their lives in danger.
By being complacent, by being silent, you are complicit. And we perpetuate these acts of violence by not speaking up. I'm not talking about me. I'm talking about you. You. By not doing anything and not taking any action is action. If you feel this way, if you're tired, you're tired of seeing it, you don't understand it, do something. Speak up. We'll come back. NFL Blitz is next.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.